Nearly 70 years ago, a small book was published that has haunted millions of readers ever since. The author was Elie Wiesel. It was his account of his experience as a boy in the Nazi death camps of Auschwitz and Buchenwald. At age 15, he was crammed with other Jews into a boxcar, taken to a place of unimaginable cruelty and daily mass murder. His mother, his father, his two sisters were killed there. He saw thousands of people shot or hanged or forced into gas chambers or starve slowly to death. And constantly in his nostrils and his vision was the foul smoke always pouring from the furnaces where dead bodies were burned. The title of this book is one word: night. Wiesel says that from his first moment in the horrors of Auschwitz, his world became an endless night. And so we must say it again, that life in this world can be smothered, covered in horrifically dark night. At this moment around the globe, it's true for countless suffering people. In Gaza, it is night. For 2,000 years, Jews around the world have suffered night. Israel now is lashing out in the night. In all places of crushing poverty, violence, starvation, and cries of help that go ignored, a dreadful darkness. Though our situations do not begin to compare with theirs, most of us must say that we have had our own terror. We have had very dark experience. Now, maybe we should be careful in how we think and speak of this. Because you and I are not meant to live all our days in sunshine. And it is unwise to think of all dark experience as something to be hated or avoided. Times of sadness, grief, guilt, anxiety, doubt, we are all subject. These are all part of the givenness of life. And we'd be wrong to pretend otherwise or to think God really ought to banish those. Instead, we must face them, even be patient with them as we are able, and let them speak to us what they can speak. Over and over, the scripture says that God dwells in darkness. In the book of Isaiah, God even says, "I will give you the treasures of darkness." Hey, when it's daylight, can you see the stars? They're there. But only in the dark do they shine for us. Likewise, there is wisdom. In fact, there is a form of hope that we will never know until we have lived through dark times and opened ourselves to what they would give to us. The poets know this. Theodore Retke said, "In dark times we begin to see." Rumi said, "Life's waters flow from darkness, Search the darkness, don't run from it. And in his great poem, To Know the Dark, Wendell Berry says, to go into the dark with a flashlight is to know the light. To know the dark, go dark. Go without sight and find that the dark too blooms and sings and is traveled by dark feet and dark wings. As Barbara Brown Taylor said, there is a light that shines in darkness that is only visible there. So no, our own dark feelings, even the horrors we may feel, the darkness of the world, are not to be cursed or denied or flooded with fake light of cheeriness. But in a way, should be accepted, even embraced, for God dwells in the dark. But let us not fool ourselves when Elie Wiesel referred to Auschwitz as night. He meant a very different shape of darkness. And the darkness of which the Bible speaks is often closer to that kind, a malevolent darkness, which is at work in the world to devour and destroy. You may know Madeline L'Engle's young adult novel called A Wrinkle in Time. Three children from Earth are taken to a distant galaxy to do battle with the force of evil. That force is a vast, hideous, pulsing presence of darkness. At one point, the children are permitted to look from a distance at their own planet Earth as it really is, and to their horror, the vile, creeping shadow has all but enveloped our world. What if that is a better way of conceiving the depths of the world's darkness? More than my madness plus yours, more than everybody's shadows piled on top of each other, more than this Congress or that one or the rest, more than all our collective mistakes together, is what the Bible calls principalities and power, or the powers of darkness, that masses them all, these shadows, that pervades them all and enlarges beyond all, and that fuels them all to do its work in us and in the world, that is poison in our systems, in our institutions, in our mass mind and beyond. This poison darkness, we are in it and it is in us. Which, when the Bible speaks of darkness, it gathers in all that we have said so far. The dark as all manner of suffering, the dark as holy space, and the dark as evil. The season of Advent names it in many of the texts we read and the carols that we sing. It is all about dark night and the news in the night always that into our darkness has been given. new light, the light. So from the prophet Isaiah, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They who dwelt in deep darkness, on them has light shined. And this, later in Isaiah, darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the people, but the Lord will shine upon you. Arise, shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And from John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and that light was the light of humankind. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And the news came first to shepherds who were working in the night. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And how would the Magi have found him later if not by looking to a dark sky? To follow a star. And over we are moved to sing it. Silent night, holy night. Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face. Hail the dawn of redeeming grace. And there is this, perhaps, it came a flower and bright amid the cold of winter when half spent was the night. What does it all mean? It means, for starters, that the human situation is being taken seriously. There's no sunshiny faith here, no escapism, no otherworldly religion. Love is given into terrible darkness, from Auschwitz to Gaza, to economic injustice, to racism, to violence and abuse, and to our own personal brokenness, anxiety and grief. Into this real world midnight, eternal love has come to join us entirely here. Come in a helpless child, then growing to a life of befriending and healing and laughter and truth-telling and confrontation and a God-forsaken death under a black sky. And then an awakening to new life that also began in the dark. The love of God has not put an end to darkness. But it shined in darkness and is still shining, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Divine love is living here, pulsing here, shining here, and that love has more thickness in it than all the thickness of the thickest dark. In our own dark day, and in the darkness of this present age, we remember the light and we look for its gleams, and we are expectant of a greater fullness of light to come. There will come a day when love comes with new power and will throw open the shutters and expose all evil and heal the world's confusion and rage and grief. Until that day, perhaps we can look more closely and find find our own darkness to be luminous. And perhaps we can choose that our words, our actions, our love, and our hope be lifted together as candles in this world, to hail the light and to shine.